Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. In the foreword to photojournalist Philip Montgomery's new book, American Mirror, Columbia journalism professor and New Yorker contributor Jelani Cobb describes Montgomery's photographs in this book as, quote, stations in an American crucible. In their totality, these 71 images seem like a series of exhibits of the sort presented to a jury. Whether this is the case for our collective defense or our prosecution remains to be seen. Montgomery's stations span across nearly a decade, capturing the opioid epidemic, racial justice movements, political division, climate disaster, the eviction crisis, and most recently, COVID-19. But his images aren't only about documenting the events themselves. They are often about people's experiences in those moments. A man standing in a flooded room with water up to his knees. A woman placing her hand, which is in a surgical glove, on her dead husband's forehead. A little girl loading her veteran father's gun. A team of doctors in PPE swarming to save a patient. There are images of despair and isolation, but also moments of unity and perseverance resulting in a collection of 71 striking photographs culminating into one big picture of America in the first part of the 21st century. Today, Philip Montgomery joins us to discuss his book, American Mirror. Philip, welcome back to the show.
Allison, thanks so much. It's great to be back.
And Philip was kind enough to let us post a few of the images from the book on our Instagram. So if you want to check them out during this conversation or after, the Instagram handle is @allofitwnyc. So when did the themes of this book become clear to you?
You know, I think this all really materialized in 2014. I had gone to Ferguson and, you know, following the death of Michael Brown. And I really started to understand a different sort of narrative that was happening. I think the excitement and the enormity of the moment of the election of Barack Obama had, you know, at this point sort of faded. And I was really engaging and confronting a country that I really didn't recognize. And that's when this work started to really come together. And, you know, I felt like I needed to know and understand more.
As you were putting together the book, the images are intermingled. There's not a section about the opioid crisis. There's not a section
right.
about politics or about climate. What went into that choice?
Right. Yeah. When I was authoring the work in book form, there was that decision, right? Whether or not we would go chronological or we would kind of take you on this ride. And what I think really works is that these events and these moments that you see in the book, it is sort of on a repeat cycle from, you know, the book spans over the last 8 years. And I feel like when I was working on this, every year there'd be, you know, an event that was new and massive, but I had seen really or experienced a version of that very event, you know, maybe 2 years later with variations on the theme and variations on the intensity. And I think that really was more reflective of what I experienced over the 8 years of making the work. And I think that it is important for readers to understand how much happened within that time period. And I think, you know, folks who have seen the book have all commented to me that really what's the most astonishing was it's just so hard to believe what has happened within these last 8 years.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the photos. You have many photos depicting the aftermath of hurricanes and other enormous, profound weather events as a result of climate change, people wading through their flooded homes to retrieve belongings. What did you observe about human nature during the act of retrieval?
Great question. You know, it's often not as somber as it might seem. It's usually pretty practical. Mm-hmm. I mean, we experienced it a little bit here as New Yorkers with Sandy, and you know, it's obviously a very troubling moment when that happens to you, when, you know, you, something larger than you has come and, you know, you're left with nothing. However, I'm always, as tough as these moments are, I'm always sort of amazed by the American optimism. And although they are somber, there is a resilience to Americans. And I think that's it always surprises me. You know, one of the images in the book is of a woman who's up to floodwater, she's neck deep in floodwater. But what is so fascinating about the image is she's returning to her home to retrieve an original Matisse painting.
That's the craziest story.
It's really unusual. And there, you know, these scenes are loaded with, you know, these sort of, these facts and details that make for the complexity of the story, you know? There's been a number of these moments where it never is what you'd expect it is.
I have to ask about that, that people may remember that New Yorker story, the Matisse that Hurricane Harvey spared. So this family goes back and they're like, oh yeah, don't forget the Matisse and the Degas,
right.
Suddenly.
Right.
I was curious, did you ever get photos of the artwork?
So this was in my mind. You hear, hey, we're going to retrieve our Matisse, and you're, as a photographer, imagining this incredible moment of, a physical Matisse being carried through floodwaters. However, they of course wrapped it in trash bags and then moved it through the water. And also moments after I had made the photo of them moving the painting out, I physically fell in the water and lost my camera and everything, all of my gear. So the story shifted a little bit, but
just a little bit. My guess is photographer Philip Montgomery, the name of his photo book is American Mirror. Of course, you have to tackle politics. You include photos of both Presidents Obama and Trump in the book. And it's very interesting because the Obama portrait you chose seems blurry. I don't know if that's intentional or if that happened in a choice you made in the developing process. Whereas the one of the President Trump is an extreme close-up. Why these two choices?
Right. The image of Obama, was made at the DNC during his farewell speech. And it was, for me, someone who, you know, I'm 33 and I grew up with this president, really. And it was this sort of moment of my way of making a picture that was in a lot of ways a farewell mm-hmm. to this moment. When I made the image of President Trump, it was in the context of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And at the time it was, you know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner is in a lot of ways this sort of circus. And it was on the red carpet. And that tone and his presence there at the time really did feel and feed into this sort of circus atmosphere. Mm. However, the two images really do also speak to the personalities of the individuals in some respects, Obama being a little bit more somber and, you know, Trump being, you know, focused on the limelight.
One of the photos we have on Instagram at Olivet WNYC, one of your photos is from the Republican National Convention from 2016 in Cleveland, a bunch of very excited Trump supporters. And you have notable political faces in the book. We see Sean Hannity taking a selfie with a fan at the RNC, Tucker Carlson flipping off the camera, giving it the bird. There's a shot from inside of a control room. And these images tend to show conservative people and conservative media having generally a really good time. Like everything's really good for me. Well, those pictures. As someone who works with images, how has conservative media successfully used imagery?
That's an interesting question. When I think of conservative media, I don't immediately think too much of having a defined, strong visual voice. It's more in the messaging. What I was careful to do, and what I remain careful to do across my time covering politics, is really be objective in the way that I photograph both sides of the political spectrum. Mm-hmm. You could stand in a lot of these political rallies and the only thing that looks different is the branding on the hats or the shirts. There is this sort of absurdity to photographing politics in general that exists on both sides of the aisle. And I'm always more interested, I think, in the spectacle that is politics in this country, the celebrity that is politics in this country, is more so than how that's painted with the partisan brush.
You have many photos of protests and mourning taking place after the killings, the murders of George Floyd and Michael Brown and Ferguson. When you think about when you're on assignment, what do you see as your responsibilities in these moments?
I mean, they're incredibly tough, and it's always a really difficult moment in the experience. My interest and investment in those moments are often really examining and looking at policing in the country. And unfortunately, in more recent years, this has been the context in which we do so. My responsibility in those moments, and aside from the book, and whenever I've gone, it's been in the interest of visually reporting for publications. In that moment, it's trying to make images that are sensitive yet hard-hitting, that are not exactly delivering a piece of news per se, but more so trying to offer some insight into what that place, what that intersection feels like at that very moment. And hopefully pictures that will move beyond, what you'd see in the newspaper and stay with you a little bit longer.
In your book, you include a series documenting evictions, specifically in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And, that's a moment, you're at a really terrible moment for a family. And given this reality, how do you approach a subject when you're taking a picture? And I'm curious how people respond to you wanting to tell part of their story.
Right. And that story, working on evictions and photographing evictions, it really, really changed me, and it helped me understand what I was, it just really helped me understand the complexity of the issue and the complexity of poverty. When I'm going to photograph something as tough as that moment when a family's being evicted from their home, I find that being forward and straight to the point is sort of the best strategy. I'm objectively meeting them on the worst day of their lives, potentially. I don't think I really had anyone say no when you just say, hi, this is who I am. This is why I'm here. And I'm here to understand what is happening to you. Can you tell me a little bit more? This is why I want to take photographs of it. And I found that being really clear is obviously the only way to go in these moments, but it's also really helpful. And you'd be surprised at how receptive, people are to that.
What's an image in the book that you're particularly proud of?
I think in the context of, what we're discussing, there's an image of an eviction that happened shortly before Christmas Day. And it's an image of a mover deconstructing a plastic Christmas tree in the living room of a home that's being evicted. There is something that clicked for me in making that work that I didn't really have to photograph, any members of the family or the residents or the former residents of the home, that in making an image of details, you could still sort of understand the enormity of what was happening, the collective experience of Christmas holidays and the sort of idea of buying gifts and putting them under a tree, and how for this family that wasn't a reality this year, and how tough that is, and how many Americans are in a similar position across the country when you look at eviction numbers. So that was a really powerful moment and a powerful picture for me.
The name of the book is American Mirror. The photographs are from Philip Montgomery. Philip, thank you so much for being with us again.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.